This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A huge win, bigger than you can possibly imagine. Something great happened. We'll talk about that tonight. Luke Rosiak breaks a scandal tonight. Katie Zachariah is here. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. I'm very happy today. Something big happened last night in Indiana, and it affects everybody. I don't live in Indiana. You may or may not live in Indiana, but it affects you. It affects the entire United States of America. If you look forward, pick a number, 100 years from now, and the communist menace is finally defeated, GOP turns anti-communist, all these things look, it's going to outlive you, this fight. But believe it or not, what happened last night is going to be one of 1,000 mini battles that saved the United States of America. So what happened last night? Let me explain. You understand that Democrats for decades, Democrats have been trying to cheat when it comes to drawing congressional maps. That's why they have some of the most ridiculous congressional maps. If you go look at state by state and you look and it's kind of shaped like an S and you're thinking to yourself, what's happening there? Well, Democrats only care about power. They only care about the communist revolution. So they just cheat when it comes to the maps to give themselves more seat in Congress. They know they're not a 50-50 party, as I've explained to you many times before. So you got to cheat. They've been cheating for a very, very long time. The GOP is, as much as I savage them, starting to wake up and fight back in significant ways and realize what we're going to have to use power when we get power, because they do. If they're using it and we don't use it, we can't win. All right. The GOP's decided to start getting into this game of redrawing congressional district lines in red states. Democrats will take a state, we'll call it Connecticut. They'll take a state where they're 60% of the vote, and they'll eliminate every Republican seat. You remember what they just did in Virginia? I believe there were 11 congressional seats there. Virginia's 45% Republican. They just eliminated all the seats but one. We're starting to play that game. Okay. Indiana had that on the table. You know, Ron DeSantis is doing it. These red states are doing it. Indiana's a place where we could pick up seats and redraw congressional district lines. But in steps the swamp. The Indiana State Senate, the GOP State Senate, had a handful of these swampy, corrupt state senators who stepped in and said, no, we're not redrawing the lines. Now, let me pause right there before we continue with this wonderful little tale. Why and how does this happen? In red states all across the United States of America, all across the country, you have Democrats who pretend to be Republicans, because if they go out and say, I'm a Democrat, they can't win office. You see this in red states like Wyoming, all across the South, red state after red state after red state. That guy, if you set him down and hooked him up to a lie detector test, is a Democrat in every sense of the word, but he's also someone who likes power, so he can't do that. He runs as a Republican, and most of the time, he votes as a Republican, right up to the point he runs into this, something that would be a significant blow to the communist revolution. When there's something that would really genuinely wound the communist revolution, this Republican steps up and helps the communist revolution along. And we turn and we look and say, what happened? What are you doing? This happens in the Senate, happens in the House, it happens in state legislatures all across the country. This is what they do. Controlled opposition. Now, why do they get away with it? How could you get away with something like that? when you have desires and I have desires, and we finally have an opportunity to win one for the team, how do they get away with screwing us over? Well, you ever see that movie, The Dark Knight Rises? The one with Bane, Batman and Bane, whatever. There's a great line in that movie when Bane's beating up on Batman and basically tells him, you beat up all the criminals. They're all gone now. You're rich. And he says, victory has defeated you. For the GOP primary voter in a red state, for the longest time, victory had defeated him. What do I mean by that? Well, if you live in, I live in Texas. We'll make it about my state. We have plenty of these people here. I not only live in Texas, I don't live in any one of the big blue hellhole cities. I live in an unbelievably safe town. Blood red, God and country. People are polite. There's no crime. Streets are clean. So when I look around, I don't see squalor, misery. I don't have that in my immediate area. So if I'm a person who's not that politically involved, do I have to vote in the primary? Everything's fine. There's no murders here. There's no robbery. There's no homeless person using drugs on the street corner. Am I angry and desperate to get to the polls for political change? No. Everything's fine. So on primary day, the red state GOP primary voter has historically sat on his lazy butt at home. That's just what they do. My state's fine. Not worried about it. And that has created a dangerous, dangerous system in this country where swampy, corrupt Republicans get elected by pretending to be Republicans and then screw us over. And they do this because they think they'll get away with it. I almost want to defend those dirtballs in Indiana who screwed us on redistricting. I understand why they did it. What are they, under the impression the GOP primary voters finally going to show up? No. These guys have been screwing over GOP primary voters forever. The GOP primary voter never bothered to punish them for it. But last night, the GOP primary voter proved that he is starting, we have a long, long way to go, he is starting to awaken from his slumber. And, well, this is how those guys are taking it.
How do you feel?
Well, I have one lesson for people. Revenge and retribution is not a Christian value. And that's what this was all about. And I'm not bitter about it. It's just a fact. And there's life after serving in the Indiana Senate. And I'm going to find out what it's like.
Why would you take revenge on me? No. You take revenge on GOP politicians, and you do it during the primary. If the red state GOP primary voter is starting to awaken from his slumber, if he is going to march to the polls on primary day and punish corrupt scumbags in the GOP by tossing them out of office, if that is what is happening, and that appears to be what is happening, if that is what is happening in the United States of America, I don't know that there's a more significant development that would save the United States of America. If the GOP goes from being a bunch of low-T loser weenies into being an actual anti-communist party that fights communism with teeth, we're going to save this place. It's not just about Indiana. I mean, do you understand that Democrats themselves, they have thrived on these swampy GOP types being the controlled opposition. Listen to these two.
You've talked before about sort of what politics could be, what we all hope it will be again. I mean, these Republicans in Indiana, you probably don't agree with them on much. I don't agree with them on much in terms of their policies, but they knew what was coming if they stood up to Trump. They stood up to him anyways. They decided, some of them at least, that there are worse things than losing an election. I just wonder how different you think our country and our politics could be if more Republicans had that in them. And do you think, you've been traveling out there and the country, that there are more of them out there?
I do. I mean, I see it everywhere I go. So I do believe a different kind of politics is possible. Look, Democrats are always going to disagree with Republicans. I'm always going to disagree on a lot of issues with Republicans. But if we're all actually talking about what we believe in, that is better than Republicans repeatedly having to feel pressure to either lose their career or do something wrong because the president is demanding it of them.
They're very sad. Those types of Republicans who lost last night, Jen Psaki, Peter Buttigieg, the Rear Admiral, well, those are the kind of Republicans that have helped the revolution. They're sad. We are making gains. And I know it's not as slow as you want or as slow as I want. We're making gains. This guy, United States Senator Tom Tillis, he's leaving.
Do you think posting 86-47 is a crime?
No, again, if this prosecution, which is coming from the Eastern District of North Carolina, if this whole case is based on a picture in the sand of a North Carolina beach, it again makes no sense to me. Number one, 86, I used to work in the restaurant industry, and I think 86 actually has its roots as a cook.
That's my understanding, too.
It has its roots in 86ing the menu or 86ing the product. I can't find any evidence except some that's come up after the president made the comment about the movies. I know the penal code in North Carolina, 187, means murder, but I can't find any evidence where 86 is used as a call for violence. And Comey is the biggest disappointment of my Senate career. I actually stood up for this man in my first term in the Senate because I thought he was being attacked unfairly. I found out later that he was a political hack and he was motivated by a political agenda. That alone, though, would not allow me to support what I think on its face is some sort of a vindictive prosecution. Republicans are better than that. Let's leave it to the Democrats, and I could point to a litany of what I consider to be vindictive prosecutions and operations against conservatives, but let's not sink to their level. Let's be better.
You know, he hates you. He's always hated you. Tom Tillis has hated you from the day he took office. He hates you far more than someone like Chuck Schumer does. He hates you because he's had to pretend to like you and care about you for his whole career, and it bothers him a great deal. Chuck Schumer just hates you out in the open. Tom Tillis has had to pretend like he cares about you, but guess what? He's going away. He's going away because that brand of Republican is being phased out. Oh, I know he's retiring, but he was not long for this place. These people, the GOP types I told you, the ones who are Democrats who pretend to be Republicans, you know, they hate your guts. Every once in a while, they'll kind of let the mask slip. Here's John Cornyn.
I know Republicans, voters, and as I said earlier, really it's a question of who bothers to show up. If only the most radical people show up in the primary, then I think that's going to be a challenge.
Radical. That's what John Cornyn says about you to the camera. What do you think he says when he's with his Democrat friends about you back in D.C.? Not the first time he said stuff like this, but talking like this crazy stuff forever.
Hi, I'm Texas Senator John Cornyn. The last year has proven quite a challenge as we've navigated the impact of COVID-19. But with safe and effective vaccines finally being administered, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Getting vaccinated is the fastest way that life can return to normal.
Under the effective leadership of Director Ray, the agency has remained committed to doing things independently and by the book.
Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. I've called this the most important law that most people have never heard of. It's been called the crown jewel of U.S. intelligence.
We worked with the NRA, listened to their concerns, but in the end, I think they simply they have a membership and a business model that will not allow them to support any legislation.
DACA recipients must have a permanent legislative solution. They deserve nothing less. We need to take action and pass legislation that will unequivocally allow these young men and women to stay in the only home, in the only country they've known.
In the past, I've supported a number of bills that would have allowed these individuals to remain in the United States without fear of a court decision hanging in the balance.
You know that guy's going to lose. That is one of the most powerful Republicans in Washington, D.C. He has a primary coming up against Ken Paxton in Texas. If the polls are accurate, that guy's about to lose. Because the GOP primary voter, who has long been the dumbest, laziest voter in America, is starting to awaken from his slumber. And if that's how we're going to operate, we're going to save this place. I hope that didn't make you uncomfortable, and I am right. High interest debt makes me uncomfortable. Do you have that? Are you paying, I don't even want to say it, 20% on something? 30% on something? Don't do that. I know it feels like you're drowning, and maybe you're sitting there saying, what do I do? Do you own a home? American Financing is here to get you out of this jam. They have a path to getting you out. Now, the problem is they can't do it unless you give them a call. They've been doing this, helping people out of this jam for a very, very, very long time. They have the reputation they have for a reason. Get a hold of American Financing. They are your path to getting your head back above water. 866-891-2821 or AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that. Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is absolutely critical that California's governor does stand up for everyone in California. That, in fact, ICE to me is a criminal operation. I've said all along, we should abolish ICE. It's breaking the law. It is coming here deliberately to break the law.
I think we should police Donald Trump's masked mercenary force that they call ICE. I think we should prosecute any of the forces that violate the law. And I think we should jail anyone who has violated the law.
Congresswoman Porter, your thoughts on the idea of funding health care for undocumented immigrants statewide?
Yes.
I really do feel genuinely bad for all my friends in California. You watched that debate last night. It's just a never-ending freak fest with Katie Porker and Steyer and all these people. Just who can be crazier than the last one? Anyway, one of those people who stuck out there, Katie Zachariah, former DHS spokesman. Katie, I'm sorry. That was ugly to watch last night.
It was ugly, but they're saying the quiet part out loud. Finally, yes, they want health care for criminal illegal aliens. And let me be clear, we already have paid a heavy price out here in California to the tune of $23 billion. It has cost us over 2 years to fund Gavin Newsom's little pet project to give every single person who came into this country illegally free health care and sex changes. And now we're at about $3.44 billion in insolvency that Gavin Newsom is having to beg the federal government for a bailout on in our Medicare program, Medicaid, which is in California. So Jesse, I'm finally just happy that she's saying this and not trying to pretend that we're not doing this any longer. And where is she going to get the money? That's the question I kept asking myself. Where is she going to get the money for the health care for all of these illegal immigrants when Gavin Newsom is already asking for a bailout on this program?
I'm glad you brought up the insolvency part, because people don't understand how insanely wealthy California is. If it was its own country, I think it's the fifth largest economy in the world, if memory serves me. In order to take California into bankruptcy, that's like taking Walmart or Coca-Cola into bankruptcy. How's that humanly possible?
Well, you have a consistent track record of failed programs. Gavin Newsom actually didn't inherit this problem. He has completely dug California straight into the ground. When you basically tell energy companies that they don't get any tax benefits, that they don't get any support from the government, that you're going to get rid of gas-powered vehicle sales in California by 2035, and you're going to run every successful billionaire out of this proposal, and I know he's speaking out against it. I want to be clear here. The proposal on the wealth tax, Gavin Newsom is giving lip service that he's against it. But if he was against it, he would have buried all of the people in his party that are proposing it. But all of these millionaires and billionaires are now fleeing. So what exactly are we left with? We're left with homelessness, surging crime, lack of homes that he had promised at the outset of his term. We don't have any more new homes built. We actually have the contrary. We have the entire Pacific Palisades, Altadena and Pasadena areas completely burned to the ground, and yet he's done nothing to help. So Jesse, what has happened in California in that gubernatorial debate can be summed up by looking at every single failed leftist policy that has destroyed California, and that President Trump and J.D. Vance and Dr. Oz, you know, with the fraud, are having to come in and remedy. It is disturbing.
I'm glad you brought up the fraud. Katie Porker was asked about it last night. Here's what she said.
Fraud is real. It happens. Government waste, mismanagement, failure to have audits, failure to implement government recommendations. That's why I chose to serve on the Oversight Committee and hold Democratic leadership and Republican leadership, Trump and Biden, to account for those programs. But there's nothing special about Californians. That is political theater coming from J.D. Vance.
Is there anything special about California fraud?
Oh, only that it's mounting to the tune of billions and billions and billions of dollars, and we have every form of it. We have Medicare, we have COVID fraud, we have homelessness fraud. I mean, you name it, you uncover it everywhere you turn. California has that type of fraud. And by the way, Katie Porter ran an ad, a very disturbing and disgusting ad on President Trump, where she used an expletive F Trump. And now she's saying, I'm going to hold who accountable? I'm going to hold Democrats accountable. No, she's not. If she became governor of this state, she would basically put up her middle finger to President Trump, as she ostensibly did in her advertisement, and would try to run this state without him. She also said, Jesse, that she doesn't need the 40% of the Californians that voted for President Trump. She said this in her CBS botched interview. I don't need the people who voted for Trump. I don't have to appease them. I don't actually have to do anything for anyone on the other side. So she's not holding anyone accountable. She's a disaster. And I love your nickname for her. I caught that, and it's excellent.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right. Tom Steyer. Tom Steyer is a scummy billionaire. He was that dork to the right of Katie Porker in that video. Eric Swalwell recently had his career nuked because apparently he does a lot of team building exercises in the office. We'll leave it that way. I can't help but wonder if Tom Steyer wasn't behind these types of things. He was, what, third or fourth, I believe? Then Swalwell's gone, Steyer's rising. What do you make of this guy?
Well, Steyer made all of his money. Let's be clear. Steyer wants to imprison ICE, right? He made that. He came out and said that explicitly. I want to imprison ICE officers, which is absolutely ridiculous and also illegal and a violation of the Supremacy Clause for doing their job. But he made all his money on ICE prisons. So this guy is the quintessential hypocrisy, walking hypocrisy that within the California gubernatorial debate. I'm this self-made multimillionaire or billionaire, and I've made all my money on projects that now I want to imprison the people that helped me make money. I mean, honestly, this guy is a joke, and he is... What he has already done in the California debate is, again, expose more failed policies, and honestly, just another failed will-be, wannabe politician. the only people who really stood out, and really the only person actually who stood out to me, and I keep saying it and I don't mean it because I'm a Republican, but Steve Hilton continues to have the solutions for California. And having lived here my entire life, I can tell you that some of those solutions are a welcome to my ears policies that I just cannot help but be like, please, can we just get Steve Hilton in here to give me lower gas prices? Maybe just that. Maybe just lower gas prices.
Okay, so give it to us right between the eyes. Can he win? I know you have this weird jungle primary thing and you got people like Swalwell getting bounced. Can he actually win?
I think if Steve continues to gain the momentum that he has already and continues that momentum outside of the voter ID problem, which we've talked about in California, which is actually on the November 26th, will be the ballot initiative set forth by Carl DeMaio, Assemblyman out of California. Outside of the voter ID issue and with the rampant voter fraud, Steve Hilton is starting to stand the best chance, because Californians are now suffering under what I drove by, Jesse, was $7 a gallon gas in Malibu, California. This is the most expensive I've ever seen, $7 a gallon. And California people cannot afford to live here anymore. And so people are looking at Katie Porter, listening to her. She has really the most kind of off-putting personality. She's, even for the hard left, my own leftist mother cannot stand listening to Katie Porter. And you have kind of these squishy other politicians. And honestly, Steve Hilton is starting to rise merely because he's providing just small solutions and practical solutions to Californians, and has a kind of a nice delivery. For the left, there's something about his personality, there's something about maybe even his British accent that is a little bit more welcoming to even hard leftists out in California, Jesse.
British accent on dudes. I don't know about it. I mean, I don't mind it on women. All right. What about LA? How's this mayoral race looking?
Oof. Well, so as much as I would like to come out and say yay for Spencer Pratt, I think his advertisements are excellent, and I think he's doing a wonderful job. Mayor Bass has some kind of spell over the people of Los Angeles that she can burn down, that she can be in Ghana while the Palisades burns down to the tune of $250 billion in lives lost. Again, as I said earlier, with the Altadena and Pasadena fires, you know, you can have entire neighborhoods and cities burned down, and this woman is not being held accountable. People, she's starting to still surge in all of the approval ratings, and she's surging in the polling that's taking place. No matter what visuals Spencer Pratt puts up, Karen Bass still seems to have a stronghold over the mayoral race. And so I hope for Spencer Pratt's sake that he starts to gain more momentum. I'm not seeing it in the polling, if I'm really honest with you. And as a kind of political strategist and analyst, I'm looking at this thinking it's going to be Karen Bass again. Not good news, but it's what I'm starting to see, and what kind of the ground truth is out here in California is people are still going to vote for that lady.
Well, that just sucks. All right, Katie, have a good one. California isn't the only kooky blue state. There are more. We'll check in with Devery Dawkins about one in a moment. Before we do that, let me talk to you about, well, maybe you're paying $7 a gallon for gas. Maybe prices everywhere are killing you. I mean, but prices are killing people right now. People are not making ends meet. I can't fix inflation, and neither can you. Sadly, it is out of my hands. But we can find wonderful ways to save some cash. If you have Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you're paying way too much. You can switch to Pure Talk, the patriotic cell phone company that actually loves the country. You'll save a fortune. When I switched from T-Mobile to Pure Talk, we had four lines. Our bill got cut in half. What would your cell phone bill look like if it got cut in half? They're on the same towers. Not asking you to drop calls here. I just want you to go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. And switch. You can keep your phone, by the way. Keep your phone number. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
New York City faces a budget crisis of a historic magnitude. We inherited a deficit larger than any since the Great Recession. Years of mismanagement and chronic underbudgeting, alongside a structural imbalance between what New York City sends to the state and what we receive in return, have taken a toll. We cannot close this deficit with savings alone. We need new revenue, and we need a structural reset in our relationship with the state.
You just got there. Joining me now, the host of the Devery Darkins Show, Devery Darkins. Devery, he's been mayor for like 5 minutes. And there's already a budget crisis.
Yeah, I mean, he's learning on the job. There's no doubt about that. And I think he's learning a hard lesson when it comes to being the mayor of New York City, that it's not just all talk, right? There's things you have to execute on. And Kevin O'Leary says it the best way, which is there's a difference between selling something and actually executing on it. And I think Mondami's having a hard time with that, given his recent back and forth with Ken Griffin, you know, as he made that viral video of taxing the rich. But he said it himself, worse than broke is what's going on with that city.
Yeah, speaking of his attack on Ken Griffin, if you don't know what Devery's talking about, here it was. I don't know that I've seen a political ad like this calling out a rich guy by name. Here it was.
When I ran for mayor, I said I was going to tax the rich. Well, today, we're taxing the rich. I'm thrilled to announce we've secured a pied-à-terre tax, the first in New York's history. This is an annual fee on luxury properties worth more than $5 million, whose owners do not live full-time in the city. Like for this penthouse, which hedge fund CEO Ken Griffin bought for $238 million. This pied-à-terre tax is specifically designed for the richest of the rich.
So where does that leave us at 350 Park?
That leaves us with the fact that we went to Miami and revised our building plan to make it a bigger office building.
You're bailing?
So what do we do at 350 is still a point of discussion internally, but what is no longer a point of discussion is that Miami is now, you know, when we moved from Chicago, there was a debate between New York and Miami. It's unquestionably true that we made the right choice.
Well, surprise, surprise, when you try to tax and punish super rich guys, they hop on their private planes and they fly to Miami.
Right, exactly. And, you know, as I was listening to that, I was just thinking, it doesn't take a rocket science to understand what's going on here. Instead of alienating billionaires, why not collaborate with them to bring more investment to New York City so you can make it more affordable? But by essentially motivating them to move away, like Katie Wilson did in Seattle with Boeing and Starbucks, they're literally going to lose jobs. Why? Because of his talking point of tax the rich is worth it. I just don't think it obviously works in the end, as you guys know, and I'm sure your listeners would agree. Socialism does not work in a capitalist system, but I don't think Mondani believes that.
Why do these cities keep doing this? What's the explanation for it? I mean, you and I could sit here for an hour and go down the list of, hey, look at Seattle's kooky mayor, or LA's, or Chicago's, or New York. We could go down the list and they just keep voting for these people over and over and over again, and the facilities get worse and the taxes get higher and the homeless people are crapping in the streets and they just keep doing the same thing again. When does the voter change his behavior?
You know what? That's a good question, and I don't know the answer. But I will say this. According to history, sooner or later, things do change. They just don't change when we think they should. I mean, California changed. It wasn't always the way that it was, for an example. And there's other states across the country as well. But I will say this. I think when we are seeing crisis like this in our country, usually what's behind it is money. Someone's making money off this. Someone's making money off these policies. We know of the fraud in Minneapolis, as an example. We know the fraud that happened with the Chicago public schools, as far as what's going over there with Mayor Brandon Johnson, and how, you know, they were making money off buying these old schools to house illegal immigrants in. It's all a money scheme for these people. So I think that's really behind it.
Devery, appreciate you very much, my man. Come back soon. All right, speaking of fraud, there is a story. I don't know if you've been reading up on this story from Luke Rozaik at the Daily Wire of fraud in Ohio. I've told you before, what they found in Minnesota was the appetizer. This is something Democrats, in collaboration with foreigners, they've been doing this for years and years and years. It's staggering how much of your money is being stolen. Just go ahead and buckle yourself in. Luke Rozaik is going to give us an amazing story in just a moment. Before he does that, I want you to get a wonderful night's sleep tonight like I had last night. I was desperate to have a good night's sleep last night. I had been up all night. It was a long story. So last night, what did I do? A little cup of hot chocolate. That's all. Went to the kitchen, grabbed a little coffee cup, poured some milk in it, took a scoop of Dream Powder from Beam, dumped it in there, swirled it up, threw it in the microwave, and just sat there watching the show with the wife, sipping on it, and slept like a little bitty baby. Do you want to sleep like that? Natural. By the way, it's totally drug-free. All those natural things you see on the screen, that's what's in it. Go to shopbeam.com/JesseKelly. Start sleeping 7-8 hours straight. No getting up, and start waking up feeling like $1 million. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
These people just steal. We talk about it all the time, about the volume of theft in this country. It's staggering. It is truly staggering. And thankfully, we actually have investigative reporters on our side now doing the work and exposing it all. I'm going to shut my mouth because Luke Rozaik is here, investigative reporter with the Daily Wire. It's his story. He broke it. He wrote it. Luke, take the show away. What did you find?
Thanks for having me, Jesse. So what I'm worked up about is what I'm calling free butlers for Somalis, to the tune of $1 billion just in Ohio every year. Again, this is free butlers for Somalis. They'll come to your house, clean, cook, whatever you need.
Okay. I need you to expand a lot on what you just described to me. Somalis are getting free butlers. Who's paying butler? What?
You know the answer to that, Jesse. You're paying. So this is under Medicaid. Uh-huh. And they started by saying you can have home health care. So the idea was, if you were old and you were so sick that you needed to go into a nursing home, it would be cheaper if we could send a nurse to your house a couple times a day or week or whatever, and then that would save money. The problem is, there are a lot of people, nobody's going to pretend to be sick so they can go into a nursing home and like hang out with their head in a cup of pudding or whatever. Nobody wants to go to a nursing home. If you let them get these free benefits, they will pretend to need all these services. Because what happened is Ohio said, you don't even have to be a nurse. We will pay members of the family to hang out with their own relatives and just cook, clean, do chores, even provide, quote, companionship and conversation. So they are paying people to hang out with their own family and talk to their own family and do things that for all of eternity people have done because they're decent human beings. And your parents raise you, and if they get old, you try to return the favor. But apparently not Somalis. Just as they won't raise their own kids without having somebody else paid to watch them, they won't care for their own aging parents without getting paid. They're constantly just getting paid just to exist with their family.
Good God. Okay, let's rewind back to the beginning. When and where did this begin? How did this begin? How'd you get your hooks into this one?
So it's been going on for a while, but I found out about it because DOGE did great work releasing data about who's getting paid under Medicaid. This is a huge percentage of the federal budget. In Ohio, it's like half the state budget. And we had no idea where it was going. And you had people like Nick Shirley doing great work, and then he would be accused of cherry picking. Now we have the data, and I've spent months going through it. I can tell you what Nick Shirley found is not cherry picking. It is consistent with what you find across the board. It is virtually all Somalis, at least in Columbus, Ohio. There's almost no American names on the who's doing these Medicaid things, and they're millions of dollars each. And so there are these buildings in Columbus. There's one of them that had 94 businesses in it, $66 million they built. There's another landlord that owns 7 buildings on the same street, all of them just full of these home healthcare companies, billing $250 million. So the entire economy of Columbus, and you can see there on the screen, there's a billboard where they're advertising that you can get paid to hang out with your own family. They've all figured out that this is way more lucrative and better than working. And so the entire economy has been replaced by these Medicaid schemes. And you drive down the street and it's just doctor this, doctor that, home health care this, learning center this. Everybody's getting paid just to hang out with their own family. And the companies are full of these middlemen where if you're getting paid to hang out with your own mom, you get paid by a company. The company gets paid by Medicaid and they keep a cut. And these companies are owned by the sketchiest people you can imagine. And now that we have their names in this database and the amount of money that they're paid, you can look them up and you see criminal records. You see that they're running other businesses. So they're getting like $1 million, sometimes $500,000 a month. And it's not even their full-time job. It's just like this thing they're doing on the side. You can see that they're not paying taxes. They have tax. So they come to our country and they get $10 million from our tax money, and they won't even pay their own taxes to help fund the country that took them in. It almost defies belief. And so, you know, there's a Somali politician. He ran for state Senate with a Democrat endorsement, and he said, I'm the embodiment of the American dream. I came here as a refugee, and now I show that anybody in America can make a great living. Well, it turns out that he had founded a business on the side that billed $11 million eventually from Medicaid. So I guess that's their version of the American dream, free work for free millions of dollars for hanging out with your family, and it's not even your full-time job.
This stuff makes me unreasonably angry. Luke, I'm afraid to even ask it, but this is horrible. It's awful. It's unfair. It's unjust. All the words we could use, but it doesn't sound illegal, is it?
I mean, that's a great point. And the governor of Ohio, Republican named Mike DeWine, I mean, so J.D. Vance responded to my story and said he's sending in his fraud task force to Ohio. And Mike DeWine said, you know, and it's funny because I'm doing a 5-part series. He didn't even wait to see what I have. After the first part, he said, oh, this is all fine. It's not even illegal. So that tells you where his head is at. He didn't want to hear the evidence before he declared that there's nothing to see here. Which is kind of maps with what I found on the ground, is that part of it is legal. Like you said, I mean, that was the intent of the program, is you can get paid for hanging out with your own family. That is allowed. There's another category of it where you have multiple clients. You're not hanging out with your family. You have like 10 old ladies that you go check on. That is allowed too, except that the Somalis may have different plan members, people who are selling their social security numbers in exchange for kickbacks. And they're not really going to those people's houses. Obviously, that would be fraud. But how do you prove it? Unless you have cameras on the old ladies' houses, it's difficult to prove. So part of it is waste. Part of it is fraud, but it's inherently hard to prove the fraud. And so it's really cool that J.D. Vance is going to go in there. There's all kinds of problems that I found where people have criminal records. One of them founded a $7 million Medicaid business using the address of the teenage son of a convicted money launderer. So this is the kind of thing we're dealing with. It obviously doesn't pass the smell test. If it turns out that most of these places can't get shut down because fraud can't be proven, you know, maybe we just do a policy change here and shut down the whole program. Maybe people need to take care of their aging family for an hour a day without demanding government paycheck to do it.
All right, last one from me. Mike DeWine, obviously being a corrupt scumbag, is not news to anybody who pays attention to politics, but are there others in the state GOP of Ohio who are on this, who have reached out? Basically, my concern, Luke, is that the state GOP is in on all this.
You know, that's kind of what I've heard, is that the investigators don't really do anything. You know, all the people running for the state offices yesterday in the primaries, they all commented on my story and were supportive of it and said they're going to do a fraud crackdown. But I think that the politically that sounds nice, but I think instead of just playing whack-a-mole and, you know, you knock down Muhammad Ahmed's $10 million business, but then his brother Abdikar Ahmed opens one, you know, at the same address, it's just whack-a-mole. They can do this endlessly. There's an infinite supply of them, and they're just replicating the same scheme, cookie cutter style. So I think fraud detection is in some ways like playing whack-a-mole. I think that the courageous position for politicians at this point is to end what they call the personal services waiver, which is paying people who aren't even nurses with Medicaid dollars. And this is a federal 70% coming from the feds. So maybe that's why Mike DeWine doesn't care that it's being wasted. It's other people's money. But that's what I think we need to see, is Republicans willing to say, we're going to end this Medicaid program where you get to get paid for hanging out with your own family members. Because it might have been gone for a few years without being exploited, but you add in you know, a ton of Somalis into the mix, and Columbus, Ohio has the second most Somalis after Minneapolis. That's when the match really hit this the fire was ignited here, and the budget is just can't. So we can't afford to pay people to hang out with their family members. So I think the move here is to end the program.
Luke, outstanding work as always. Thank you, brother. Let's do a light in the mood. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to lighten the mood. And I don't know if you know this, but today is actually National Nurses Day. And nurses have caught a lot of heat in recent years. You know, the TikTok dancing videos during COVID and all the DEI hires and things like that. So nurses have caught a lot of heat, and I get that. And there's plenty of bad nurses out there. But there are also plenty of wonderful, wonderful nurses out there. Wonderful nurses who care for you deeply, and they can, when you're hurting, sometimes they add a little personal touch.
And I had a nurse named Pearl Nelson, military. She'd come in and do things that I don't think you learn in medical school, nursing school.
She'd whisper in my ear. I couldn't understand him. She'd whisper, she'd lean down. She'd actually breathe on me to make sure that there was a connection, a human connection. She even went home and brought back her pillow from her own bed because she knew the one where I had the one comfortable. But I'm not joking.
The girl sounds like a sweetheart. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.